I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God is good and all the time. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming out for the final service in this camp meeting, which I believe God has blessed, and during which we've all been protected from harm and danger, accident and incident. It's a pleasure to see you. It's a privilege to see you. And I pray that God will bless us in this final message, as I believe he has blessed us from as way back as message number one. We thank God for life, sparing us during the night, and for allowing us this opportunity to come into his house. Our subject for this morning, power for growth. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a name, dear God, that stands for divinity, humanity. It is that name that said, let there be light. It's the same name that said, it is finished. Jesus is he who said, I and the Father are one. It's that name that said, I am the resurrection and the life. It is that name that's coming back to resurrect all the righteous dead and the righteous living to take them with him and to destroy his enemies. In the name of Jesus, who healeth all our diseases and sicknesses, spiritual and physical, in his name, the name that cast out demons and rebuke the devil. In his name, God bless us. Teach us your word. Subdue our rebellion. Soften our hearts of stone, that we may yield to the conviction of your spirit and decide to obey you. Take possession of my mind, dear God. Speak through me for your glory first and for the blessing of your people. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 20, reading from verse 25. And as soon as I'm finished speaking, I will conduct a brief anointing service along with all the other preachers from the Solomon Islands and any other preacher who may be present. We'll just assemble right in the front and conduct an anointing service on someone who requested it and ask God to be merciful. Acts 20, reading from verse 25. Paul has sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus. I believe Paul spent more time at Ephesus than any other church. 3 years teaching and preaching and building up that church. And now he tells them in verse 25 of Acts 20. Do you have Acts 20? Verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul is saying, no man's blood is on my hands. And every preacher should be able to say, no one in this church has his or her blood on my hands. Why is that? The next verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul is saying, if you are lost, it is not my fault. Whether it was pleasant or unpleasant, says Paul, I declared unto you all the counsel of God. I told you all that I could in 3 years, or I told you all that I could from Thursday until now. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Never hesitate to give people the truth, whether it hurts or not, because the truth is precisely what they need for their sickness, and that sickness is sin. Never hesitate to give the truth. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now Paul tells the elders, feed the church of God. Now remember, these are his last words to the elders. They will see him no more, as later down in the chapter we're told. And so these are the last words of a dying man. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So what Paul is saying, because the church is such an expensive purchase, the best thing you can do for that church is to show respect for the cost, is to feed the church. And the only thing with which we can feed the church is the word of God. Can you say amen? And so Paul says, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul is saying, when I'm gone, false teachers will arise. They will not make a move while I am in the church, says Paul, because I will resist them and I will rebuke them. But as soon as I leave, they will come in. Now, how can you defend yourselves while I'm gone? The word of God. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise from within the church, speaking perverse things, like there's no Trinity, like Christ had a beginning, that the Holy Ghost is not an intelligent personality, speaking perverse things, that Ellen White's gift of the prophetic gift is not genuine, that there's no such thing as a remnant church, speaking perverse things, that the atonement ended at the cross, that the Ten Commandments are optional. Men shall arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Watch therefore and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now the only way a preacher can warn a congregation is by giving them God's word. He cannot warn them by quoting from the Wall Street Journal and Time Magazine and Sports Illustrated. The source of warning is the Word of God. And Paul said, take heed therefore, watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years, listen carefully, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul said, I preach in the morning and I preach at night. Every day. Sometimes I cried, says Paul, warning you with tears. And now I commend you to God. I give you over to God, says Paul, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Listen to me carefully. Your greatest need and mine is a knowledge of God's word and a willingness to obey that word. It is our only defense. A PhD is not a defense against deception. The greatest deceptions are spiritual deceptions. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. If Christ is light, and Satan is light, how do we detect which is the true light? Because the Bible says in John 1:9, and that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If the Bible speaks of the true light, you must conclude there is what? A false light. How do you detect the difference? Because error in these last days will travel so close to truth that even some so-called grounded people will be deceived. And the only protection against error is the Word of God, not simply read, but obeyed. Because in the obedience to God's Word, the power of the Word is released in the life. If you're sick and you have to take cough medicine, the cough medicine does you no good if it stays in the bottle right next to your bed. You have to take it in. You have to swallow that pill. You have to take that intramuscular injection. It has to enter into you in order that its healing benefits might affect you. The Word of God is no different. It must be taken in. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. John 6:51. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Because in the eating of the bread, it is digested spiritually, and the nutrients are taken by the spiritual blood to the cells of the body, and that's how we develop this immunity against deception. The immunity against deception does not lie in the clothes you wear, even though we must dress properly to come into the presence of God. It does not lie in the house in which you live or the car you drive. The immunity against deception lies in the Word of God, working from within to enlighten the understanding, to stiffen the resolve of the member to stand for truth regardless of the cost. And so Paul said, and now I commend you to God. In other words, here is the conclusion of everything. I'm giving you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, all them which are being sanctified. My brothers and sisters from all over the Pacific Islands and Australia, New Zealand, wherever we're from, I ask you as a brother in Christ, make the Word of God your priority in everything you do. In The Desire of Ages, page 668, paragraph 4, we have this very, very interesting quotation. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case to him, just what course to pursue. Now, why am I saying that? In order to do nothing to offend God, we must know what offends God and what does not. We must know what pleases God. And the only source of that information is the Word of God. And of course, the counsel, the commentary, divine commentary from our servant, the Lord's servant. Those who decide to do nothing in any line, educational, economic, romance, social, recreational, in any line that will displease God, in other words, those who avoid sin like the plague, will know, after presenting their case to him, just what course to pursue. People always ask, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? The servant of the Lord says, you will know what to do if sin is removed from the life. And if your desire 100% is to avoid displeasing God, or let me say that positively, is to please God, the mind committed to pleasing God will be led by the Spirit of God in the right direction. Here's what you do with respect to a house. Here's what you do with respect to your children. Here's what you do with respect to your education. The Spirit of God, which is the Spirit in the Word, will direct that man or that woman whose decision, whose determination, whose resolve is to do nothing to offend God. And so I say, as the Apostle Paul said, now I commend you to God. Don't let Christ come and catch you by surprise. There are things going on in the world that will result in the final events taking place very, very quickly. If we are not faithful now, we will not be faithful when the crisis hits. I've heard people say, well, I'll come to God 5 minutes before the close of probation. I've heard all kinds of silly statements. I'll come to God on my deathbed. No, come to God now, because your deathbed may be waiting for you 5 minutes from now. Come to God now. Surrender the life to God now. Make a commitment to distance yourself and myself from sin now. Let this be your all and all your everything. And I'll close by directing your mind to Genesis 1. You don't have to go there. You know it. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, if you look at verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Without form means it was in a chaotic state. God had created matter, but the matter had not been made into something symmetrical and attractive. The earth was without form, void, meaning barren, waste, no life. The Hebrew expression, tohu bohu, I think it is. Now, here we have just matter, chaos, before God formed it into something attractive. What brought order, beauty, and symmetry out of chaos? The Word of God. Is there confusion in your life? Is there chaos in your family? The Word of God that brought order out of chaos in Genesis 1-2 will bring order into your life. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Verse 6 of Genesis 1, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The firmament as a result of the word of God. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. That happened by the word of God. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. That happened by the word of God. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That happened by the word of God. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. That happened by the word of God. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. That happened by the word of God. Let me tell you something that will shock you. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That happened by the word of God. Let me put it a little more directly. Adam and Eve were created by the word of God. He spoke and they were formed. Yes, I know the picture in your head is that God stooped down and scooped up dirt in his hand. The Bible doesn't say that. Mankind was made by the word of God. Let me draw your minds to a very familiar verse, and as you reason, you'll see what I'm trying to say, even though it disturbs all your childhood beliefs about how man was made. Listen to a well-known verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Finish that verse. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now listen to the next verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them where? In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Because when Christ comes the second time, we know he does not set foot on the earth. If that's clear, say amen. Jesus does not set foot on the earth. He stays somewhere in the heavens, raises the righteous dead, draws them along with the righteous living, and they rise to meet him in the air. He does not touch the earth. That's why when people walk on the ground and say, I am Jesus, you know that's a false prophet. Now, listen to what the verse says. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with what? A shout. In other words, he speaks. He doesn't make a noise, he speaks. With the voice of the archangel, he says something. The trump of God. All these statements simply means he makes a loud cry. He says something very, very loudly. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, who is the first child of God to die? Abel. So if anyone is dirt, it's Abel. Are you with me? Are you following me? Abel is dirt, if anyone else is dirt. Now, from what was Adam and Eve made? What was Adam made? Dirt, the dust of the ground. That's what Abel is. How will God make a man out of the dust of the ground? How will God make Abel? You tell me. Speaks the word. He speaks the word, and Abel will be formed out of dirt. Let's lay aside Abel. Let's go to Lazarus. When Jesus said, roll away the stone, you know what Martha said? Lord, by this time, what? He stinketh. What did she mean by he stinketh? He was what is decomposition? The return to what? Dirt. Where was Jesus when he raised Lazarus? Outside the tomb. Did he touch him? What did he do? Lazarus, come forth. And that partially decomposed body came out. How? By the word. Now, why am I saying this? Because there's a law by which God functions. What creates is what maintains. You didn't get that. Let me try it again. It's early. Whatever creates you is what sustains you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read from verse 5. Excuse me, I'll finish shortly. The power to grow. The power to resist. We could have called this presentation. It's all the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll read from verse 5. Let's say another prayer. Father in heaven, as I come to the conclusion of this presentation, please, Father, help me to speak clearly under the guidance of your Spirit. Let me say what he tells me to say, please. And let that same Spirit enlighten the understanding of your beloved people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Peter 3, verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. What does that mean? The entire heaven was made by the word of God, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So heaven and earth were made by the word of God. Now Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. What is the host of them? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him all his angels. Praise ye him all his hosts. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Angels were just made by the word of God. He just spoke and they appeared. That's Psalm 148, verses 1, 2, and 5. He just spoke and the angels appeared. God spoke and his word of creation formed Adam from dirt and Eve from a rib. And so we go to verse 7 of 2 Peter 3. But the heaven and the earth which are now, read the next few words. Are you not in 2 Peter 3? Let's read verse 5 again. Let's read verse, now read with me. Read, this is the final time. Read with me 2 Peter 3, 5. Come on, are you ready? Let's read. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Stop. Verse 5 tells us, heaven and earth were made by the word of God. Now read verse 7. Go on. But the heaven and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. Stop. The word that created is the word that preserves. If that's clear, say amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, we'll read verse 3. Let's read from verse 1 of Hebrews 1. From verse 1. So we get the connection. Hebrews 1, reading from verse 1. God, who at sundry times, read with me, and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now listen to verse 3. Read with me. Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. We've discovered the powerful word that creates is the word that sustains. Now, that's a principle. What creates is what sustains. Now, if we are sustained by the word of God, you must reason back and come to the conclusion we must have been made by the word of God. All of creation was by the word of God. And when he comes a second time, he will raise us up by the same word that brought the first man into existence. This. So that when you hold this, you're holding the reason, the power that made you. And it is the power that will keep you. And so, like the Apostle Paul, one more time, and now I commend you to the word of his grace. This, which is able to build you up, to give you an immunity, so that the infection of error will not affect you. The mosquito of error will bite you, but it will not give you malaria. Why? Because you've taken the medication of truth, God's word. And no matter how much the devil bites and sticks you, it will have no effect because you are defended by, thus saith the Lord. Let me close the book to let you see that I am stopping. Please, make time for the word of God. Read it. Obey it. When you read it, ask yourselves, what is God saying to me? Because the Bible was written for you. Forget the person sitting next to you, even if it is your spouse. The word of God was written for you. So when you read Philippians 4:13, don't go there, you know it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You must put your name in that verse. Let's say your problem is smoking. Your name is John. You must read the verse. Philippians 4:13 says, John can quit smoking through Christ who strengthens him. And that's biblically correct. When you read, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You read the verse, my name is Sally. If Sally confesses her sins, God will forgive her and cleanse her. I was doing a crusade somewhere in the world. This man came to me for one-to-one counseling. He said, Pastor, I killed a man. And what do I do? As far as God is concerned, for my spiritual life. Well, we talked about several things, his responsibility to society and to God. I said, you need to confess that sin to God. It was 25 years ago. I guess he paid his price, but hadn't made things right with God. Confess to God. And he said, he'll forgive me? Yes! Mm-hmm. Even if you don't feel forgiven, the word of God has nothing to do with feel. If you say, I am sorry, God forgives you on the spot. And so all your life you've beaten your wife. I'm sorry. God forgives you. Because God's forgiveness carries power to avoid that thing in the future. For the final time. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. We need to be built up. So when the enemy comes in, the walls of our defenses will not crumble. Let me say that again. We need to be built up. This is what builds you up. So when the devil comes in like a flood, the enemy, the walls of our defense will hold. That's my appeal to you in the name of Jesus. It is for your own good, the good of your family, the salvation of your children. How many will say with me, Father, help me to make your word my priority. Can I see your right hand? I really mean that. Stand with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God in heaven, Jesus warns us that we should not let our hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the care of this world or the cares of this life. Father, the cares of this life are all legitimate. Finding a job, getting married, having a child, going to school, buying a house, selling a house. They are legitimate cares of this life. But Jesus' warning was, don't become so overburdened with the cares of the life that the coming of Christ becomes a secondary concern. Father in heaven, the devil is so crafty and so intelligent and so wise and cunning that he will take good things like the cares of this life, good things like taking care of the family, good things like going to work, good things like buying a car, and use them to so dominate our time that we relegate and we demote you to a secondary place in our lives. I've tried to speak to your people, Father, as clearly as I could. Where I have been weak and ineffective, forgive me. But I know your Holy Ghost is skillful, dear God. Let that Spirit now work upon the hearts of those who heard your word. Impress upon us, dear God, right down to the cells of our being, that the word of God is our need, our defense, our nourishment, our light, our wisdom, our sanctification, because the word of God is Jesus Christ himself. Father, remove from us our love for the world. Give us a love for that which is spiritual. As the Apostle Paul writes and warns in Colossians 3:1-2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. And as a servant of your servant says to us, if your thoughts, your plans, your purposes are all directed toward the accumulation of the things of earth, your anxiety, your study, your interests will all be centered upon the world. The heavenly attractions will lose their beauty. The glories of the eternal world will cease to have the force of reality to you. What your servant is telling us, when our focus is day-to-day survival, heaven loses its attraction. Please, God, please, convict us powerfully Take our hearts in your hand and squeeze them, Father, with the power of love until we yield completely, because we'll be glad we did. Now, Father, bless every man, woman, boy, and girl, every guest, every visitor. And as we conduct this brief anointing service, let your Spirit remain with us, dear God, and work powerfully in the life of your daughter. Hear this humble prayer, Father. I offer it in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.